And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today I have a very good friend of mine. He's been a friend of mine, well, many years. You know, so many years, I guess, that I just forgot to count them. But he and I were just discussing how many ministries we've seen over the years that are gone because the leader's gone to see Jesus. And so this man, he invited me on his radio program many years ago, and we've been back and forth, and I was very blessed to be at a conference in West Virginia. That's where he's at, in West Virginia. Beautiful place there, West Virginia. I was able to be at a conference there, and he had quite a large crowd there. We had a great time. I was a little sick at the thing, but I managed to make it and so forth and to speak. I don't know how I did it. I guess God helped me. But I was able to meet him in person and enjoy him so much. He's married to a wonderful lady, Marcia, and I'm sure he can talk about her. But today we're going to talk about his book. He's written a book. And I'm privileged for him to have sent me a copy of it. I love it. It has a little church on the cover. Beautiful church. And let me just tell you the title of this book, because we're going to discuss it today. And we're going to talk about some things we don't usually talk about. And they're from the Bible, and they're very important matters. The title of this book is Articles of Wisdom and Instruction from God's Word, Volume 1. Now, Pastor Butch Paul is his name. Butch, P-A-U-G-H, Butch Paul. He is, as I said, from Netty, West Virginia, N-E-T-T-I-E. His ministry is called Call to Decision Ministries. He is a pastor, and he's been on the radio for many years. He got off a little while. He's going to be back on. I'm going to let him tell you about that and how you can listen to him. But he very tirelessly preaches and writes. He hosts radio shows, and he's had me on for a number of years. I hope I didn't mess his audience up too much. But he's a Vietnam veteran. He's been married for over 45 years. Boy, I just don't know how did his wife, how was she able to stand Butch all those years, you know? She must be a saint. She and Wanda both, my wife, they're both saints. But anyway, I'm a bad boy for saying that. But in any case, I've always liked Butch because he believes in truth. He believes in the Bible. He believes in morals. And he doesn't let Christianity take a back seat to the secular world. And for that, he's gotten a little bit of trouble over the years. What kind of trouble? Well, the kind of trouble that God can get you out of, and God always has. So we're going to talk about this book today, and I think it's going to be a pleasure. And you just wait and see. Well, Pastor Butch Paul, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
Well, Tex Mars, thank you so much, my friend and dear brother, that invite me. That is such an honor, and such an honor that you like the book. I just wrote it in plain old hillbilly, and you seem to like it.
Well, it may be hillbilly to me. It seems to me very, I go by the Bible, and I think the Bible is the most, let's just use big words, erudite, the most intellectual, book that there is. And that's what I love about your book. You stick close to the Bible. And you know, this is Articles of Wisdom and Instruction. If people would just read your book, Jesus says, my yoke is light. You know, take my yoke. It's not heavy. It's not hard. You'll enjoy it. I think people do enjoy being a good Christian. They don't have to write down all the things they've got to do this day and that day. Just every day, just go forth, enjoy life, smile, and do whatever Jesus tells you to do. And it's so much fun, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And to say that we don't live in a messed up world would be a sad lie to say. We live in a world that's really confused. Our nation's confused in a lot of different ways, and just plain evil in a lot of different ways. Mm. But there's a joy that Christ gives you, Tex, that I can't describe it. If you hadn't experienced it, I can't describe it. a joy like him right now sitting on a back deck here in the hills of West Virginia on a beautiful warm day, and the springtime is here. And just as a phone rang to come on the air, a big gobbler gobbled up here beside my house somewhere. And I'm counting my blessings. And to know that although I miss my loved ones, as you do yours, my dad passed away last March at 91 years old, March 4 last. I'll get to see him again one day. That's the joy. I go to bed at night in a nice bed, in a warm bed, a full belly, and I praise God for that. And I've been married, as you said, over 45 years to Marcia Jean, and we've become closer over the years. It's a blessing and a blessing and a blessing to serve Christ. It's not a chore. Sometimes you face some battles. Sometimes you face some problems. But he's always there to get you through them. He'll give you the wisdom. He'll give you the understanding to do what you have to do. And he gives you the faith and courage to face it. And he's always been there for me.
You know, I received a letter, and I wanted to just read a little part of it. I'm not going to take much time on it because I want you to talk to the people, Pastor Butch. But this is by a gentleman. He's been a friend of the ministry for a long time, Brother Young from Valparaiso, Indiana. But he sent me this letter, and he quoted from Philippians chapter 4. And I know you're going to recognize this verse instantly, and I thought about it because I was preparing for this show today, and I read this, and I thought, I'm going to mention that to Butch. It reads this way: whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report and honorable, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, Brother Young went on to say, of course, that we have to be aware of the devil's evil devices. And he quoted a couple of verses there. But still, when we really think about our whole, over the period of our whole life, I think God gives us much more, many more things that are true, honest, just, lovely, of good report, have virtue and praise. And he fills your heart with these things, and then you're able to overcome the evil because you know of the good.
Well, there's a hope in us that the world doesn't have. The world has this temporary dwelling in this house of clay that suffers and dies eventually.
Mm-hmm.
We have something far better. I always tell people that if you're not born again, this is the only heaven you're going to know. But if you are born again, this is the worst hell you're ever going to have. So enjoy your life in Christ. Enjoy that as I watch the apple trees starting to bud and everything turn green. And know that his creation is doing what it created to do thousands of years ago, doing it one more time. And he's still on the throne. He's still in charge of my life, your life. He's still in charge. Actually, he's in charge of the world. May not look like it, but nothing's going to happen that's going to surprise him. I had a preacher one time tell me this. He said, has it ever occurred to you that nothing's ever occurred to God?
Nothing's ever occurred to God. That's true. That's true.
Wow, that pretty much says it all.
He's known everything from the very beginning, hasn't he? He's already...
Absolutely. He doesn't look down and say, oh, I didn't know he's going to do that. Or he knew that. So we shouldn't be shocked and upset. We should fight evil, stand against evil, and pray that God's will be done, and if mercy, if possible, allow it to be upon us and our nation. But ultimately, he knows what's going on. He knows our hearts. He knows everything going on. And nations must be judged in the here and now. They won't be judged in eternity. They have to be judged now, and America has crossed the line a long time ago for judgment, way under ago.
Boy.
At least as early as 1973, when that Roe v. Wade became law of the land. We murdered 60 million innocent children since then, and 2 Kings 24:4 says he will not pardon that sin. That's what the book says. That's what I preach.
You know, I've always been not perplexed or puzzled, but just I think I was in awe when I read that Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Yes.
Well, you know, we put a date on it, right? What was it? Maybe 2,000 years ago or something. But God had time is not even of any meaning to him.
No.
And so everything is happening. I don't know. I can't even figure it out. They say in quantum physics, maybe you can at least get a little glimmer of it. I doubt it. I think some ways our minds, our brains are not programmed by God. Because he sets our minds and you know, puts them on the way that we're going to go. But we're not even programmed to think things like that. You know, I read one time a quantum physicist said that the world is so queer and our brains can't even, well, we can't think that queer. And I'm using queer, I mean strange.
I understand, yes, yes.
But
yes.
God must think all these things. And, you know, you say we're living in the present. That's so true. But for God, everything's happening all at once. He's seeing the future, the past.
Yes.
It's just amazing to me, but that's the kind of God we serve. You know, let me say one other thing. Many years ago, there was a gentleman, I won't mention his name, won't get into that, but he was going to expose the conspiracy, you know, the global conspiracy, political, economic, and so forth. And he had a sort of piece of it, and boy, he went to expose it. Well, he ended up suicided. They murdered him, killed him. In fact, they did it, I think, in West Virginia at some hotel there, killed him.
What are you talking about, I believe? Yeah, go ahead.
But he was killed, and, you know, they found his body. They had set him up, told him they were going to give him some facts if he would meet him at that hotel. But after he died, somebody wrote to me and said, Tex, why are you alive and he's dead? Well, I'll tell you, that was many, many years ago, about 30 years ago. But here's the point about it. I knew Jesus. That
yes.
That gentleman was fighting the global conspiracy on his own power.
Yes.
And we have no power. I mean, the world and Satan has so much more power than you and I as individuals do.
That's right.
And if it weren't for God, you and I had been sucked into this vortex of evil a long time ago. We'd be dead.
Well, you know the account in the scriptures, the seven sons of Sceva that cast out the devils in the name of Paul, in the name of Christ that Paul preaches. And the devil said, we know Paul, we know Jesus, but who are you? And just whipped him, to, you know, put his clothes off of him. So we have no authority without Christ in our hearts. I mean, I personally have been before the FBI three times, a federal grand jury one time for what I preached and said, and I'm still here. I just go in the name of the Lord, and I know that he's with me. And his will is going to be done, Tex. If I end up in prison next week for preaching the Bible, if that's his sovereign will, I know it is, because he is my God. Romans 8:28 promised me if I love him, I'm part of the called out ones, and I'm seeking his will, nothing will happen but for my good. He promised me that. So I don't go to bed and they worry about it.
Boy, you know, that's so true. And I think those things happen for your instruction.
Sure they do. And encouragement and strength.
To increase your wisdom. We're talking about your book here. But when you were called before the FBI in question, when they put you before a grand jury over what you had preached.
Yeah.
Boy, that just tells you. You know, these things don't even make it to the newspaper many times. But people,
well,
their pastors.
Like I said, I actually got upset. I called a federal witness a low-down scum-sucking dog.
Oh, no.
they didn't like that too well. And I really didn't care. That's what he was. If he's still alive, unless he's been born again, he still is.
Well, you know, you're not even supposed to say anything about a witness or a judge, which is crazy.
It is crazy.
A lot of evil judges out there.
Christ called Herod a fox, which to a Hebrew was like calling him a skunk.
That's right. Yeah, he did. He didn't have a lot of good words for the truly evil. But, you know, it's amazing how much he loved people.
Yes.
The woman at the well, he saw, she was a sinner, basically. But he saw in her condition, and he saw what she could be, I believe.
Well, the problem with Christ didn't have a problem with the sinner. He had a problem with the self-righteous.
Oh, yes, that's right. There's a difference between a sinner and a self-righteous person.
That's exactly right.
Oh,
and
man.
I know many self-Christian, so many self-righteous so-called Christians, too.
You know, that's so true. Wow. Well, let's just talk a little bit about this book. You know, I was reading chapter one, in fact, To Sin Beyond Redemption. Now, you start off with a quote from Romans 1:28. Maybe you can tell us about that quote or read it to us. And then 2 Timothy 4, read that. And it's interesting how, you know, then you have Strong's concordance and but anyway, tell us about to sin beyond redemption. Can people sin beyond redemption? Can God actually say you're reprobate and sort of, you know, boy, I mean, that's a sad case, isn't it?
Well, 2 Kings 24:4 told the Manasseh and the people they went up to get the sin of innocent blood. I didn't mean they could not be redeemed personally, but the nation had to be judged. Well, Romans 1:28 says, and even though they did not like to retain, I like that, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. That's not because he hasn't been there, Tex. He's been there, and they know inherently that, for example, a man having intercourse with another man is wrong. It's against nature, so inherently they know it's wrong. God gave them over to a reprobate mind, which means there's no turn back. to do those things which are not convenient. And 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 2 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some should depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, seeking lies, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having a conscience seared with a hot iron. Once your conscience becomes seared, it is sealed. It's done. And as many verses in that other than that to prove the point, yes, you can sin beyond redemption. A nation does it all the time. I mean, Israel did it. America's done it. But individuals can also. The Spirit will not always strive with man. And we have to understand how serious this is. There is a pure, righteous, holy God on the throne that did everything in his power. Everything in his power to give us eternal life and glory with him. And we spit in his face, as Hebrews 10:26 says, that even that some of the ones who did believe turned around and counted the blood of the sacrifice as nothing. He said, the greater is their damnation. Now, either he made a mistake writing the book, or, he's a liar. I mean, which way does it go here? Obviously, the Bible's telling the truth. It's a very serious thing to spit in the face of the Almighty.
Hmm. So, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, so these people didn't want to retain God. They wanted
to do
their own will.
Today, look back when you and I were going to public school, and it wasn't even good then, but compared to today.
So God gave them over to a reprobate mind.
Yes.
I just think about how sad that is. When God gives you over to a he's finished with you, isn't he? I mean, that's it.
There's no hope. What's even scarier for us personally on this earth is those people have no conscience left.
Oh.
So what did it turn into?
You know, all of these people acting today, these liberal, the celebrity crowd, and they've got all this money, and they're out there, you know, using filthy, foul words, screaming at our president and all that. And boy, you know, I think about these people are just reprobates.
They are reprobates. They truly are.
Yeah. You know, and the people that support them, they don't even know, they don't even understand. There's so many people without understanding, but this actually says that they did not like to retain God in their knowledge.
The next chapter, of course, is a nation of fools. Psalm 14:1 says a person says there is no God, the fool. Our nation now may, with words, say, yeah, there's a God. But by their actions, they deny it. Did Christ not tell the Pharisees the same thing? By you say with your mouth that you love me, but your heart's far from me.
Hmm.
So when we hear people on the TV, the liberal, and I use the word liberal because that's the only word I think to match them, news broadcast say, well, you all need to pray for this person. How do you pray for somebody if you don't know who you're praying to?
Well, you know, I just read, there's a news article out about the Catholics appointing a new black pope, you know, the head of the Jesuit order. I think he's called the Superior General. You know, they give him all these big titles. So the new Superior General, Arturo Sosa, I think his name is, he came out in his first sermon. He says that we misunderstand Jesus because Jesus did not have a tape recorder. And he said many things that we don't even know that he said. He said, but really the things that are in the Bible, we cannot trust them because they weren't recorded. So he says, for example, Jesus may have taught that it was okay for a man to marry a man and a woman to marry a woman. He says, we don't know, so we ought to just shut up and admit that the Bible, the words in the Bible, he said, mean nothing because we don't really know what Jesus said. So
I answer that question actually another chapter entitled, So How Do We Live Then?
So how do we live then?
So what do we go by? If Jesus was not the authority, if we don't know we have his word, if his word do we have in our hands is not truly his word, well, how do we live then? Who gets to be the one who decides right and wrong?
Well, that's,
who
that's,
is it?
Is
it man, a humanist? Is man wrong because he's right when he thinks he is? I mean, without the word of God, how do we live then? Tell me, Tex, how do we know what to do unless we have a solid foundation to build our lives on? How do we know what to do? How do we live then? I mean, the foolishness of that man and the damnation that man deserves to destroy the faith of many people is absolutely, well, he's worthy of it, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
But how do we live then?
Absolutely, because none of the words of Jesus have any effect. We can't trust them. We can just throw away the Bible because, after all, we didn't have a tape recorder back then. We really don't know what Jesus said. So every man will just decide for himself what's best.
Yes.
Now, that's crazy.
That's right. That's called humanism.
Humanism, yeah, exactly.
But yet some bunch of humanists have to be the ones who make the rules, at least temporarily. As I said in this article and other articles, they make the laws for the day, but the laws are evolving or devolving. So what laws are permanent? None if man makes them. If God makes them, they're forever.
You know, I was thinking about that superior general, so-called. I'm not sure he believes in a God at all. Now, this says here in Romans, you know, you quote it, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Do you think that the black pope of the Catholic Church even knows Jesus to be able to say to the whole world in this interview, we cannot trust anything that Jesus said in the Bible?
That's true. That is so sad. And all I can say is he is serving a God, and he may not even know it.
Mm.
And then again, he may know he's Satanist, but he's serving a God.
Yeah.
Very well, I should say. And he's destroying himself and many people that listen to him.
The fool said in his heart, there is no God.
Exactly.
Well, that must be what he's saying. There's no God that we can listen to, that we can understand and obey. So I don't even know why you would go to church or anything.
Why would you even sit down to pray? Who would you pray to? How would you know what to ask?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, another chapter of books, the book Insanity is Us, U.S.
You know, I wonder, though, if all morality. A man called me on the radio one time, and he said, I don't believe in Jesus, he's nonsense and all this stuff. So I said, well, do you believe in human laws? Well, yeah, I believe in laws. We have to have laws. But I said, well, why do we have laws like, you know, don't go out and steal somebody's land or don't rob or whatever? Everything is based on a law, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Hmm.
It is. Long time ago, I was on one radio station, Somerville, West Virginia. That's where you joined me at one time for the first time back in the 90s. I had a professor come in. He was writing a book on different religions and faiths. And I was talking to him and a younger professor. The young professor was a nice guy. The old professor was kind of snotty, you know, kind of uppity. But anyway, I've mentioned that they're the absolutes of the Word of God. And that older guy said, there are no absolutes. So I paused a second. The Lord gave me a perfect question. Are you sure? Are you absolutely sure there are no absolutes? And he just dropped.
Hmm.
Are you absolutely sure there are no absolutes? Either way he answered, he was wrong.
Yeah.
He left the room. Now, text, if I can take down a college professor with a simple question, are you absolutely sure there are no absolutes? I mean, he looked like a fool, and he was a fool denying there's a God. So it wasn't, the Lord gave me that wisdom to do that, and that interview with him was ended, but the other guy kind of snickered and stayed a while longer. So it's not complicated at all, Tex. The wisdom of Christ gives you will overcome the wisdom of man every time.
To overcome the wisdom of man. Now, on page 6 of your book, you sort of touch on that. I'm about at the third or fourth paragraph where you say, the source and blame for a destroyed society and nation lies squarely in and on the churches of that society of nation. Is that true? Can all the ills here in America, the evils, be blamed on the churches?
Well, who was given the mandate in the beginning, the very first chapter of Genesis, who was given the mandate that God's people were to conquer the earth, subdue the earth, replenish the earth, you know, use the earth for your good and his glory? And of course, in Matthew chapter 5, we're the salt and light of the world. And the salt, obviously, is a preservative. And the light is to show people the right way. Then it goes on to say that when that light is more or less darkened, how great is that darkness?
Mm.
The church was given the duty, the responsibility to stand and tell the truth before the people, to proclaim what's right and wrong in Christ's name, and preach against sin and, we'll say, uplift people who are trying to live right, you know, to exhort them. But the church has quit doing that. At most, the ones I see are preaching maybe salvation. But it's an easy believism. Just go up and shake the preacher's hand, and you're all right forever.
Well, I'm wondering now. People ask me, they say, I'm just one person, or we're just a small little group in this town. And the society is so evil. And this whole town has gotten so evil. And they just feel lost and alone. What message would you have for them?
Well, nothing goes out and comes back void, whether it's good or evil. I always compare it to throwing a pebble in a steel pond.
Mm-hmm.
Throw in something wicked, that ripple goes all out throughout society.
Hmm.
Throw in something good, it does also. And we've obviously lost the pebble throwing contest for a long time, but that doesn't mean what we're doing is not resulting in something good. If one soul comes to Christ, if one soul, maybe perhaps if by the grace of God, reads this book and gets his eyes open to some truth, that's already been saved even. It's a blessing. So, yeah, we can counteract evil with good, but we have to speak up, and that book also is a chapter entitled Whispering Christians. Mm. I was with my dad about 2 years ago in February in the rehab at the hospital, and somewhere about the topic of homosexuality, and everybody, I said something, everybody shook their head and whispered, "You're right." I said, "What are you whispering for? Why are you whispering about the truth of God's word? Why are you whispering?" It kind of frustrated me. I think it surprised them. Well, we may lose your jobs. Well, you either lose your job or your soul. Matthew 10 says, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. That's not going up and saying, well, I don't believe in Jesus. That's disobeying his laws, and when you're in a place you can witness, keep your mouth shut. That's denying him, just like Peter did in the crowd. It's the same thing.
Mm. So, in effect, you think you're avoiding persecution. You think you're avoiding the bad will of the world, but you're defying God. You're jumping into a bad situation to defy God right in the face of these sinners, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I tell people that the Lord will give you wisdom when to speak and when to be quiet. He'll give you wisdom what to say, as Christ told the disciples and all of us. When you come before the judge, I'll put in your mouth what you got to say. But you got to be willing to speak it. And, yeah. And I've gotten in trouble over the years for preaching the way it is. And I don't apologize for that. I'm sorry that some people get offended, but on the other hand, I'm not. I've always said when I preach, I want somebody to be glad or mad. If they're glad, then they rejoice in the truth. If they're mad, then I know I touched them in their heart and they're angry over it. It's the ones in between that don't respond to bother me. I can't reach them.
Yeah.
But I won't be mad or glad, one or the other. And believe me, I can make them mad. But anyway, I don't mean to. But Christ made them mad also, didn't he?
Oh, well, they crucified him for it.
Exactly.
Well, so the church, that's all of us who are Christians. We're instructed to go and teach all the nations.
To observe all that he commanded, period.
You know, I often think about all these Muslims coming here to the United States. People from other societies and we complain because they cannot be assimilated. It seems in a way that's a great opportunity for us, but nobody's taking it. That we don't have any missionaries right here in America that can go and reach these people. People are not even.
Them. You can't offend them, Tess. You correct them. They might kill you before you that. I want to show you this. I have a picture of a dead baby in my window of my car. You can see it real well. It's an aborted baby. It says abortion is murder. And one time a lady took Marcia somewhere, she wasn't able to drive, and she took it out. She said, I'm afraid somebody may hit me in the head. I said, would you prefer for a baby to die than to trust God with your life?
Mm.
It upset her a little bit, but it hit home by the tail.
Yeah, oh, yes.
I've had people tell me, because of those signs in my car, I've had young ladies tell me they did not murder the baby because of that.
They did not murder a baby?
Yes.
Hmm.
So, you see, that you don't have to say anything. Just show a witness. Put the picture in the car. Let people see it. We offer it to ministry for $6 a piece. And no one ever orders them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, they're gross. But what do you think the murder of a child is, Texas tore apart in the womb? You think it's not gross?
Oh,
why do you
absolutely.
Feel the gross?
Absolutely. And, you know, that's why they won't take ads from Christians that want to give a picture, show people pictures like that. They want all of that to be out of polite society.
Sure.
You know, they
it's okay to murder a baby, just don't talk about them.
And don't show people. Don't show people. Don't let people know that they're getting the body parts for Planned Parenthood and all that kind of stuff, making money off the body parts. It's just the horror of it. They want to keep it quiet.
Well, I saw another man debating two homosexuals, two sodomites. And they were debating love and why they should be allowed to be together. And the gentleman was a preacher. I can't remember his name, a Christian. But he said, I'll be quiet if you explain one thing to me. I don't think I need to explain to the audience how me and my wife have relations. Would you explain to the audience how you have relations?
Oh, no, no, no.
And that ended the debate.
They don't even want people to know what they do, huh?
No, they don't.
Wow.
You see, it's not hard, Tex. If we just speak up, we'll silence the evil. That's what Christ said. You'll put in the silence with the truth. Now, they may get angry. They may stone you. They did Paul. And I don't think Paul enjoyed being stoned, but he didn't get up out there whining and crying and say, I'm quitting. I ain't going to do that no more. He got up and preached again.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we're going to take a little break here. When we come back, we're going to discuss more of Articles of Wisdom and Instruction from God's Word by my good friend, Pastor Butch Paul. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. We'll be right back. Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. You know, I've got this book here in front of me, and I've enjoyed reading it. It's by Pastor Butch Paul. Articles of Wisdom and Instruction from God's Word. And I'll tell you, it has more wisdom and knowledge in it, and all, it's from the Bible. I mean, here's a chapter, politics and religion. All the time people are asking me, what responsibility do we have in politics? And what does the Bible say? Hey, if you're a gay person, here's a chapter for you. Praise God, I'm gay. Well, I don't think so. I don't think Butch thinks so either. But I want to know what he thinks about that. Under penalty of death. Wow. Blissful ignorance. That seems like a lot of people are that way today, aren't they? And then the Christian compromise, false teachings. Ooh. Boy, there's just a lot in this book. Now, we want you to have this book. And for $15, we'll send it to you. We'll send it right out to you. And Butch Paul has promised me that he'll give me many copies of this thing, keep them supplied here in the ministry, so we'll have plenty to send out. And I want you to have this book. You'll enjoy it. You know, and it's made in such a way, it's got little places for you to add your notes, your personal thoughts. And this would be a great Sunday school instruction guide for adults, maybe even for teenagers, but especially for adults. So if you have a home church, maybe you'd like to have this, because I think it'd be great for like Sunday school instruction or Bible study. And on all these topics, it just makes you think, and it's wonderful. And I think you're going to enjoy it. You're going to really enjoy it. $15, send it to us here. Send $5 shipping and handling also. That's a total of $20. And send it to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now, you go online and order this book too. Just go to powerofprophecy.com. See how easy it is? Powerofprophecy.com. Now, you can get an audio tape or a CD of this program also for $10. Again, $5 shipping and handling. Again, that same address. Now, you can phone us during the work week. Phone us, and a nice receptionist will talk to you. And take your order, and we'll send this right on to you. Our phone number here is toll free, 1-800-234-9673. So call and say, hey, I'd like that book by Pastor Butch Paul, Articles of Wisdom and Instruction from God's Word. Just, you know, the book. I call it the orange book. Beautiful orange cover with a church on the front cover. So ask for the orange book, the instruction book, and we'll send it to you. Okay. The receptionist here, the folks who work here, you know, our folks here, they're wonderful people, and they want to please you, and they want you to know God's word. And that's the thing about it. You know, we expose a lot of things here, but you know, we don't expose God's word enough. Talk about exposing it. Just letting people know it. That's exposing it, isn't it? Letting them know it. It just keeps your life happy. You know, you read about all these things going on in the world, all these Tomahawk missiles sent over to Syria and the North Koreans threatening to bomb us into oblivion with nuclear weapons. Hey, we don't have to worry about those things. No, we don't. Because we have Jesus, and we have all of these wonderful ideas from this book. So you can get this book and just sit on your porch or by your fireside and enjoy it. Okay. Now again, a total of $20, that's $15 and $5 shipping and handling. Phone us toll free 1-800-234-9673. And of course, every time you order from us, we renew your subscription to Power of Prophecy newsletter. You're going to get that every month free.
Beginning Saturday, May 6th, Pastor Butch Paul can be heard every Saturday and Sunday night. From 7 to 8 p.m., he will be on shortwave channel 9.980, and from 8 to 9 p.m., he can be heard on 7.520. Please visit www.pastorbutch.com for more information.
All right, now let's return to our regular program. My guest, of course, is Pastor Butch Paul. He's with Call to Decision Ministries in West Virginia. I love that state. Boy, it's a beautiful state. It's not as pretty as Texas.
It is pretty.
Yeah, it's not as, you don't think it's as pretty as Texas, do you, Butch?
I've been to Texas, and I like parts of Texas, and other parts I wasn't too keen on, but yeah.
Right. Now, which is heaven going to be more like, Texas or West Virginia?
Well, you know, I hope it's a combination of all of it.
There you go. That's a good, you're a good diplomat too, you know it? You really are. You
know, each one has their special places and parts, and they really do, you know?
You know, I believe it's going to be better than both of them. I think it's going to be superior.
You're right.
Yeah, it's going to be so good. We just won't even, we can't even imagine it. Paul tells us, you know, it's beyond our imagination. Well, this book, you know, I'm reading on page 2. You quote a man named Alexander Tyler, and I've seen this quoted before, and it makes you really think. Tell us about this quote. It's the progressive steps, and you say every nation goes through these steps.
Yes.
And what are these steps, and where might America be today?
Well, let's read them first. It's a bird's eye view of the evolution of nations, and I think you'll find this right on. From bondage to spiritual faith, I think we can say Israel did that. America's done that. From spiritual faith to great courage. From courage to liberty. From liberty to abundance. And it always seems that that's the one part, prosperity, that starts decaying a society. When people become prosperous, they forget who God really is, what they're needing for. And then the next part says, from abundance to selfishness. From selfishness to complacency. My God in heaven, have we seen that in this country? Complacency to apathy. Look at the churches today, folks. Tell me what you see. From apathy to dependency. I just wrote another article. Will be my next book text. I think maybe it's not this one. It's entitled "Give Me Liberty and My Entitlements."
And my entitlements. Okay.
And the last part is from dependency back to bondage. Now I have to ask this question. I know what we hear in the news. We hear about all America is a free country. America, on a list of all the nations in the world, America ranks 25th as the freest country. Hong Kong is number one above America. Now, let that sink in a minute. Now, are we a free people in America? And an answer simply is no, we're not a free people. You own nothing. You don't own your home. You say, well, I paid for it for 30 years. I've got the deed for it. The state owns your home. You don't pay your taxes. See, who owns your home? You don't own your automobile. Oh, I've got the title for it. Go down the road without paying the tax on that and getting your license and registration. Try that. So you're not a free people. We're not a free people. We're under bondage, under licensure, and taxation. But that's Nehemiah chapter 9. It's quoted also in this book. If you read Nehemiah chapter 9, the last few verses, Nehemiah's crying before God. He said, why, God, has all this happened to us? Why are you letting this happen? Then he said, well, it's not your fault. We sinned. He said, because of our sin, we are under dominion of our bodies and our homes, our properties. He said, we're under dominion. When someone has dominion over your body, Tex, what's that mean?
Well, it means control.
Exactly. Forced vaccinations, seatbelt laws, helmet laws. And on and on and on it goes. Because we turn from the Almighty to man to give us our needs, provides with needs, we have made man our God, our provider. Anything that provides for you becomes your Lord eventually. And you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, it's okay. Just tell people that they're going to have to quit receiving welfare and see what happens. I'm writing another article right now entitled Opening Pandora's Box. Once you give, they used to call it welfare, they used to call it temporary help. My grandpa always said, as poor is as poor does. But once you give him a handout, you try to take it away and see what happens. You've opened Pandora's box, and the world, our leaders have done it on purpose to keep the people silent and under the thumb. They give them whatever they need, supposedly, at least for a while, and it keeps them quiet. They won't bite the hand that feeds them. That's what we've done.
This says, it starts off from number one. This is what all nations, progressive steps for a nation, from bondage to spiritual faith. They go from bondage to spiritual faith. And then they go on from spiritual faith to great courage and from courage to liberty. At that point, things were really good. That's, I guess we can go back to 1776 and all of that, where we had courage, we had a spiritual faith. And so we escaped bondage with those great virtues, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
And then you say that really we achieved abundance. We were a rich, rich nation. And we deserved it because we had spiritual faith and we had courage. We had liberty. But then we suddenly went from abundance to selfishness. And that was the road was straight down from there.
It was. And if you study history, and I know you do, and everybody should, because history is actually his story. What's going on? You try to find a true history. And I know sometimes it's been camouflaged, but it is there. We'll say the early to middle 1800s, men started making fortunes because of liberty. They were free to take care of themselves. They didn't pay income taxes and Social Security taxes and state taxes. That wasn't non-existent. They were free to make as much as you wanted. But then they become, we'll say, money men of great wealth. They become selfish and self-centered. And I wrote a book, a chapter in the book here entitled Self-Indulgent Narcissism. And then you break that down, that's S-I-N. They become all wrapped up in their own little worlds, and it didn't matter who they hurt in the process of growing their empires. So they become selfish. And that sort of led on down the road to other things.
You know, I remember back in the 70s, they had some books out that we were in a steady downfall at that time. And people were reading things like with titles such as, I'm okay, you're okay.
Oh, yes.
And then there was one called Looking Out for Number One.
Yes.
There was a book out, The Art of Selfishness. They wanted to train people how to be selfish. And recently I was reading, they say that Ayn Rand is having a big revival because she was an atheist. And Ayn Rand taught that, you know, you needed to be selfish. You don't want to give anything to anybody. And, you know, it's all your ideas. You can be selfish about it. And that selfishness, and people, they say that she's the most popular author in the world, that her book sales, she's been dead for many years now, are approaching those of the Holy Bible. Wow.
Wow.
Such books as Atlas Shrugged and The Fountainhead and such. But people just want that. They imagine, well, I can do whatever I want to on my own. I'm a great man. I'm a great lady. Boy, I wonder, you know, they're on the road to destruction, but these things are so popular, aren't they? These ideas.
They are, because it self-aggrandizes man as man, not as a servant of the Almighty. And I don't want to make this point along the same lines there. Whenever we went to Colorado, as you know, to see my grandchildren week before last, hadn't seen three of them 2.5 years, and they grew up on me. But anyway, the day we left, your sweetheart in the office, Michelle, called, and by the way, she is a sweetheart.
Thank you.
Called and ordered 200 of the books.
Mm-hmm.
And I was stunned. Tex Mars liked my book well enough.
Well,
for 200 copies. I thought, what an honor. And it really humbled me. And I like to think that's the difference between a true believer and a worldly person. I have nothing to boast of, Tex. I put in words what the Holy Spirit showed me to put in words. He showed me how to do it. I'm a simple man, so I teach simply. I don't beat around the bush. I don't have a lot of fluff in the book. You know that. I put it right to the point because it's what I'm told to do. People's attention span sometimes is lacking, so you can't go into a lot of great detail. They will search out more. The scriptures are there. The information's there. But there's nothing for me to brag about. I'm just Butch Paul. I live out of here in the holler in West Virginia. I'm nothing. I live in a little tiny home in the middle of the woods. I love it that way. I'm so thankful to be here. But it's just, we have nothing text in ourselves to boast of except Christ, and that's all.
You know, it seems that people are not trusting in Christ. Well, for example, I'm looking at page 29 of your book, and it really hit me. You're right. You're talking about Hillary Clinton being a daughter of Satan. Boy, she is. You're saying, according to God's word, she's a literal witch. That's right. I have no doubt about it.
That's true.
You're a plain-spoken man, but you're a wise man here. These are wise. But you say this, I know that Donald Trump is not a blood-bought, born-again, and redeemed follower of Jesus Christ. The fruit he has brought forth in his life, even recently, proved that fact. Now, here's a man they say is worth $10 billion at least, very, very rich, and no doubt he's wise according to the world. He's been sued over and over, and he's won all those cases, and he's a smart man. No doubt he deserves to be president, but you say he's a disciple of Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, a 33rd degree Mason. And that Donald Trump has stated that no one has to be born again to be saved.
That's what he said.
And he did say that. He was asked if he was born again. He said no. He knew that he had to appease Christians because that's a big part of his electorate. He couldn't get elected without the Christian voting for him. I suppose I must admit I voted for Trump too. What else could I do? Either not vote at all or vote for Trump because Hillary was a witch.
Yeah, I vote independent, quite honest with you.
There you go.
You know, one thing Trump said, too, that should have started. Yeah, you know, of course, Pastor James Manning. I know you know who he is.
Uh-huh.
He was pro-Trump until Trump said this, and he said he's more pro. Now, he used the word gay. I don't use the word gay to describe a sodomite. I call them what they are. He said he's more pro-homosexual than Hillary. When he said that, I thought, how in the name of God can a Christian vote for that? I can't. Hillary is worse in a lot of ways. There's no doubt about it. But the point is this, Tex, I'm 68 years old now. I'm not kidding anymore. I've been through a lot of elections. With every administration in my lifetime, things did not get better. They got worse.
Oh, yes.
And all we've done for years is vote for the lesser of evils. Do you think that glorifies God?
Well, no, it really doesn't. But then what can you do?
Well, this is my personal opinion. I voted independent for a Christian. I knew a man's a Christian who's running the state. But my opinion is probably about this. If I can't see a man's fruit as being Christian, I'll let God sort him out.
Mm.
Because I can't, and Jeremiah 17:5, cursed be the man that puts his trust in man, makes place his arm, whose heart departed from the Lord. We keep looking, Donald Trump is a good example. I'm not saying he's, and listen, again, compared to Hillary in a lot of different areas, he's much better. No doubt about it. But we keep looking to man or man systems to fix the ills of our nation. But without repentance, nothing can be changed in our personal lives or in a national scale. We can't, it won't change. We haven't repented over murdering 60 million babies. We haven't repented over that. We haven't repented over letting the homosexuals take over the nation and have more rights than Christians. Christians are losing businesses because they're standing against homosexuality. They're being fined out of business. So, how can we expect God to bless us through any man or man system until we get back in line with his word?
That's right. And Donald Trump's not going to change any of those things. You know, he's certainly a pro-homosexual. He's not even going to change the bathroom things, really, whether you can go in as a man or a woman or a transgender, because he doesn't have any real compunction. He doesn't have any heart for it. Now, he may make America great again. What does that great mean? It means prosperous. So
yes. You
go back to these things by Mr. Tyler then. You can be prosperous, and that's halfway on the way to hell, isn't it?
It certainly is, because in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, verse 6 he says, my people destroyed for lack of knowledge. And he goes on to say in the same verse, because they forgot me, I will forget their children. Text. And the next verse says, the more they prosper, the more they increase is the word, but the more they prosper, the more they forgot me. Now, when God says in his word to warn us, should we not pay heed to that?
Oh, yes. That's right. Well, now you have
this little book it's only 100 and some pages, I think 115, 20 pages long. It's not a big book. But you don't have to have a ton of words to make the point if you are willing to put it out plainly before the people. And I teach it like I understand it. I'm a simple man. I'm just, like I said, I'm only a hillbilly. That's not a means of self-humiliation at all. Don't mean to be at all. But I know who I am. And I'm the least of God's servants. But I understand things when they put out to me plainly and simply. And I want to do the same thing in the book.
Mm. In fact, page 57 begins a little lesson called The Lesser of Evils, which is what exactly we're talking about. This one here, tolerance, the gateway to hell. So many people believe they need to get along. They need to get along with the world.
Oh, that's why Christ was crucified, to get along with everybody, right?
Oh, yes. Well, you know, so many people believe that they don't understand why do you set yourself against the nation? Why do you fight homosexuals? Just let them live. Live and let live.
Uh-huh. I'm okay, you're okay.
Yeah. Well, what does the Bible say about that?
When you ever stop and think, text, and we tolerate evil, I don't care if it's our own children or whoever it may be, when we tolerate them living in sin, are we not condoning sin, and are we not partaker of the sin? And if they go to hell because of our cowardliness, are we not complicit with their trip to hell?
You know, the pastor at First Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, I forget his name, Stanley.
Stanley, yeah, Charles Stanley.
Yeah, I got in an argument one time with his top assistant, his associate pastor. And I was asking for Charles Stanley to take a stand. And I think the question was on abortion. I wanted Dr. Stanley to take a stand. He said, well, Dr. Stanley doesn't condemn and doesn't condone. Okay. Now think about that. He doesn't,
How do you do that?
He doesn't condemn, but he doesn't condone either. And he thought I would be pleased with that. Could you be pleased with that?
That's not an answer. It's impossible. To keep silence means that you agree. You can't straddle the fence on things like that. You're either pro or a con. And to say, well, I'm not going to take a stand on that, you've already taken a stand.
Oh, that's
true. Compromised.
He will not condone, but he won't condemn. So he's a nothing.
Well, let's just throw the Bible away. Well, obviously, it's a judgmental book. Let's just throw it away. Let's just let live. You know, if you want to have my wife in my text, come and get her. I'll loan you the car.
Well, now, okay, let's go to page 67. False accusations, a badge of honor. Now, you've been accused of a few things. I mean, you're intolerant, Butch Paul. You know you are. Okay. Now, Matthew 5:11 has something great to say about that. So let's talk about that. False accusations, a badge of honor. Is that really a badge of honor?
To me, it is. When someone calls me a Jesus freak or a fanatic or a zealot, If I'm zealous for Christ, thank you. And if I'm ever called before a court and been tried for a Christian, I hope you can convict me.
Well, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. That's a big addition there, for my sake. So when you please God, men are going to persecute you. That just happens. That is the way it goes.
It's natural.
It's natural.
It persecutes you. I mean, they may arrest you. They may put you in jail. Who knows? They may come the day when they behead you. That's in the Bible also. I don't know when or how always, but I see this evil becoming more prevailing in our nation and the darkness of this land. And when a little bit of light stands up, they snuff it out or try to. So I expect it to happen one day, Texas. If we live long enough, they'll probably come and get us. But that's okay. If I go out praising my Father, I win the battle forever and ever.
You win the battle. You know, I was at a funeral. Oh, it's been about 6 years now, I suppose. And maybe you've been to funerals like this. Pastor was up there and he was saying Sister Guthrie, you know, died and she was a wonderful lady and she had good things to say about everybody. I never heard her say a cross word about anybody. She was nice to everybody. She had good things to say about everybody and everybody loved her. And I thought about that. Wow. I hope they don't say that at my funeral. How about you?
Amen. I mean, you know, why don't they compare us to Christ? Did Christ say something good about everybody?
No, he didn't.
Crucify me if he's such a goody-goody-two-shoes.
Think about it. That's the way the world thinks about it. This woman never said a bad word about anybody, and she was liked by everybody.
That's called a coward.
Yeah, it is, but the pastor thought that's just great. We need to commend her. She's, boy, that... And I'm thinking, man.
I get angry talking about that even. That is being a coward. Mm. She denied Christ many times, obviously. When she spoke well of someone who was lived in adultery.
Oh, yes.
She denied Christ before that person and those around her.
Well, now, let's say this lady, Sister Guthrie. I'm glad she's passed away. Not listed. I shouldn't have mentioned her name. There are a lot of Guthries in this world. I'm not going to tell you which one I'm talking about. Okay. Bless her heart. But in any case... If things turn out bad for you, I mean, you know, I got a letter from a brother in Australia. He went to prison because he preached on the corner. He was one of these preachers, you know, and a person asked him about homosexuality and he says, well, the Bible says, and boy, right away, the person went and turned him into a cop.
Yep.
He said ABC and he went to court and the court, you know, hauled him in and they've got a hate crime law in Australia. And the court said, did you say this? He said, yes, that's in the Bible. Well, you can't say that. He got 3 years in prison for saying what the Bible said about homosexuality. Well, back to these false accusations. Now, that was an accurate accusation in a way. But you say here that all things work together for good.
Yes.
That wasn't good that he went to prison. Can God do something good out of that?
Well, he promised Romans 8:28, it worked to our good. He promised that. It's to his, our good and, of course, his glory. Obviously, the witness never stops until his voice is silenced, and then what he witnessed before goes on after him. So, yes, Paul led jailers to Christ, did he not? And Peter, and so did Peter and others, and he actually come close to leading a ruler to Christ. So, yes, your witness can go on wherever he puts you. Obviously, Tex, if he is God, and he's a sovereign God,
mm-hmm.
if you're in jail for preaching the Bible, that's where he wants you to be.
Mm. So, in other words, don't think that you may have an opportunity right there in a prison cell.
That's exactly right.
Wow. There's a lot of people in prison that need God. I'll tell you. A lot of them. So, maybe that man, if he continued in God's word, well, maybe he, there's a lot of people going to be thankful to him in heaven.
That's exactly right. I'm included in this. Sometimes count the cost in this earth as too great a cost to pay, but Paul said he counts all things but dung.
Mm.
You know, this earth, I mean, it's everything we see is going to pass away, including our bodies and who we call ourselves. The only thing that remains is his eternal soul, and where's it going to be in eternity?
Praise God, I'm gay, page 78. Now, surely you don't mean that. There must be some secret to that.
Well, no, I am gay. I really am. I'm generally a happy-go-lucky person.
The old definition, huh?
Exactly. I'm basically, mostly when you see me, I'm picking a joke and laughing because I'm blessed. I'm a gay person. I enjoy life. I enjoy what I do. I've been blessed beyond measure. So I'm gay as I can be, but I'm not a sexual pervert.
Well, I see here you say this actually means merry, jovial, sportive, frolicsome.
Yes.
I think you're all of those things. Butch, I've met you, and I had a good time.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I pray that I am, because that's to me, is one of the signs of being a born-again believer, is that you show a spirit of contentment and happiness.
You know, I'm afraid that most gay people are very sad.
They are sad. I've led some to Christ. Yes, they're very sad. Very, very sad. I had one young man led to Christ. In Phil Hudock, you remember Phil Hudock? He was in seminar also.
Mm-hmm.
In his home at church one night, he went to get baptized next day and said, somebody need to talk first, laying the Christ in his home. He was going back next morning to get baptized, and his mom and dad would not let him come back, and 6 months later, he committed suicide.
Mm.
Yeah, they're very unhappy people. They may temporarily, the Bible says, sins of pleasure for a season. They may enjoy their lust for a while, but it does end.
Oh, yes, it really does. And it's so very, very tragic for them. Now, here's a lesson on blissful ignorance. There's some people that really don't know things, and that's why we really need to tell them. We need to let them know God's word, because they really lack knowledge, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Hmm.
Yes, they do. A child in the backyard around a poisonous snake may be blissful, but they're ignorant of the death that snake can bring.
Oh,
to educate
yes.
them.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you know, I read about a man who reached, he was pushing his child in a, you know, one of these little bitty, you know, I guess carriage type things. And a snake got in there, and he reached behind his child, and a snake bit him. Very, very poisonous snake. Well, he didn't have any idea of that snake. If he had known, boy, he wouldn't have had his child in there.
That's exactly right.
But he didn't have, that's why it says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But, they need somebody to tell them, don't they? They need a Christian.
They do. And, well, as it says in one statement there, one quote, there is a tranquility in ignorance, but servitude is its partner.
Ooh, servant. Oh, that's right. Absolutely. You know, they say that there's no man so much a captive as one who thinks he's free, but is not.
That's also in the same chapter, yes.
And Satan has made so many people captives. And that's what they are. They're captives. Or they, you know, and Jesus can set you free. Wow.
Well, one of the comments, one of the chapters you'll find is patriotic idolatry.
Mm.
We sacrifice our children, men, young men and women, for a patriotic cause that's not patriotic at all.
Oh, boy.
It is a controlled system to make some men wealthier in the New World Order, more powerful in our lives. So we sacrifice our children to promote Satan's agenda and do not take time to look after what we're doing. I am a Vietnam-era vet. I know where I speak. I know what that war was now. I didn't know it went in. I know now. And I'm ashamed of some of the things that I helped do in there. But that's neither here nor there. I was following the flag. You know, if you look at the dollar bill, you follow the dollar bill, the flag follows that, and the people follow the flag. So that's how all these down into this mess we're in right now. We're trying to please the world, and we call it a patriotic duty. No, it's not. It's not even biblical.
You're right. Absolutely. I spent 20 years in, and I'm proud of America, but I'm very, very I'm not so proud of what we have done all those years.
Well, it's kind of when you get married, you marry a very pure, virtuous girl, perhaps a virgin, and she turns into a whore.
Mm.
Well, you love what you was, but you don't love what she is.
No. Well, I'll tell you. Pastor Paul, we're out of time now. Wish we had more time. We were having fun here. I want to thank you for this book, Articles of Wisdom and Instruction from God's Word. This is Volume 1. I hope you'll be glad. I hope you'll be happy enough to send me Volume 2.
I promise you. Maybe it'll help you, but I'm working on it right now.
All right. Folks, order this book from us. Just call us and order it, and I think you'll enjoy it. I've enjoyed having Pastor Butch Paul from West Virginia on my program today. Please tune in at this same time every week here on WWCR Radio and, of course, on the Internet, and discover the power of prophecy.